The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
On the line we have Dr. Ronald Rupnarine, and of course it will be a special guest, Dean Professor Mark Wodivira. Right, Wodivira, Dean of Faculty and Food and Agriculture. And the both, of course, from the University of the West Indies. And we will be discussing why is there low admissions in the agriculture at UWE. So, good afternoon, gentlemen. You can unmute now and let's chat.
Good afternoon. This is Ronald here, and I have with me Prof. Wodivira, who is our faculty dean.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome. Thanks for being here on Freedom 106.5. So, low admissions in agriculture, UWE. We had to discuss that, which I personally, I'm not surprised. I will give my views later, but let's hear your views first of all.
I'll let the dean speak first.
Yes. Good day, Dean.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Mm-hmm. All right. So good afternoon. So first of all, what are the requirements to get into the agricultural program? And what really is basically the agricultural program there at UWE?
Okay. Thank you for that question. And I think most times when people hear about the Faculty of Food and Agriculture, all they think about is agriculture. But we have a range of multidisciplinary programs in the Faculty of Food and Agriculture. Mm-hmm. We have the BSc Agriculture. We have BSc Human Nutrition and Dietetics. We have the BSc in Geography. We have other majors like disaster risk resilience for agriculture and the environment. We have environmental and natural resource management. We have a host of other programs that we run at the Faculty of Food and Agriculture.
Right. Okay.
And the requirements, as you would have asked, will vary from one program to another. Mm-hmm. But for the BSc in agriculture, specifically, if you are coming in with CAPE, you will need two CAPE subjects, of course, with a CSEC in a science CSEC subject. Mm-hmm. And of course, the minimum requirement to come to any UWE program is 5 CSEC with English and mathematics.
All right, man. Beautiful. I did not hear you mention anything probably about the if I missed it, the business aspect, making money from agriculture. Is there anything there of that? Or is that something you have to do on your own? Or is that part of the program?
So we have the BSc major in entrepreneurship as well. We have agribusiness management, and we have it as a full degree, and we also have it as a major in agribusiness.
Agribusiness. So that is separate from this, agricultural program.
Yes, it's separate from the BSc agriculture.
Okay, all right. Now reaching out to young people. If you understand young people nowadays, they're different. I remember some years ago, right? I'll tell you a little story. Some years ago, I went to the bank, right? Now, I'm into entertainment and stuff. I started making money when I was young, 18, 19, my 20s. And I was going into the bank. I wanted to buy some chrome rims. So I was going to take out $10,000 to buy some chrome rims, right? $10,000, right? Rims at the time, back in the 90s. I saw this guy I went to school with. Saw him in the line. He was looking real scruffy and thing. Or you have on slippers, kind of dirty pants, looking like scruffy, but he had a bag with him. So I watching him, but I knew him from school. He went to my school. I went to Trinity College. He went to my school. So when he reached by the counter, I saw him pull out this wad of money. Saw him pull out this money. Now I going to take out money. He deposited and putting in money. So then he coming. So I asked him what he doing and stuff. He said, well, I have land, I planting, I doing agriculture and thing. And I was like, wow, boy, I in this line to take out to buy rims and this man planting and thing and, you know, putting in money there, you know. That kind of changed my perspective in life, you know. Mm-hmm. So what I've used this to say with young people, you have to make things attractive to young people. You have to show them that, like you said, started off saying, agriculture is not just digging the soil and you're working hard in the hot sun and you have to be planting and waiting for these crops to thing or much months and all this sort of thing. You know, so maybe one of the reasons why you're having a low admission is because agriculture, and it is sad that it is not as attractive in a place like Trinidad and Tobago, where we should be more concerned on developing youths into agriculture. You have to make the thing attractive to young people. How are we doing so?
Exactly so. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a cultural dimension to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's a misconception. There's a perception out there that is totally out of place. Because when we hear about agriculture, from what I've said from the beginning, you will understand that, you know, there are, I mean, agriculture is a science, agriculture is business, agriculture is technology, agriculture is everything that you can think about. Mm. But there's this conception where we look at agriculture from the production aspect of it. We don't look at the totality of the value chain, from production to processing to safety to to marketing and so on. And if people have that understanding, then they will appreciate the fact that agriculture is not just somebody walking out there and dropping some seeds and harvesting something. That is not all that agriculture is about. It is science. It is technology, it is innovation, it is, you know, business.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, our duty is to debunk that perception that people seem to have, so that they will understand that agriculture, and like you rightly said, agriculture has a lot of money in it. You saw somebody and you thought that, whatever. There's a lot of money. And that is the direction. We're talking about food security. We're talking about food security today. But yet, what we need to do to be food secure, we don't like it. We want to go to the shelf of a grocery store and buy things and so on. And all those things are imported.
Mm-hmm.
They are not as nutritious as the things that we produce right here.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll bring in Dr. Rupna Ryan in here. Now, another thing, just last week, I was speaking to the president of the Farmers Association. We were talking about the larceny in Carsonfield. Another thing that may not be attractive, I mean, I know a lot of farmers right now who want to get out of the business. I mean, why would you want to get into a business where you're working so hard, you're planting your crops, and then people come in and stealing your crops, and there is nothing being done about it? Why would I want to get into that?
Well, you see, the issue is, right, I'll just address the enrollment thing from my perspective first. Mm. And then I'll go into that. The key issue is nobody is going to pursue a career if they are not in, like, entitled, or they are sure that they will get some form of employment subsequently. And to me, that's the underlying issue.
Right.
So in Trinidad and Tobago and in the Caribbean at large, what has happened in the agricultural sector is it's highly disorganized. If you ask a farmer how much tomatoes they plant and when they decide to plant tomatoes, etc., the answers that they may give you will be very, very strange, because they may pass and see what other people plant in. They may say, well, okay, tomatoes doing good here.
Mm-hmm.
But on a national level, we don't have the sector organized properly to the point where somebody understands, well, okay, in the month of January, February, March, we need X amount of tons of tomatoes or lettuce or cucumbers or whatever it may be. Yeah? So because of that disorganization, it's a challenge. And then specifically from UE side, the challenge is our enrollment requirements, our entry requirements, I should say, is a little bit steeper than our counterparts, which is one of the challenges. We try to maintain quality and quantity, quality over quantity, to ensure that our graduates can move on to higher level degrees and contribute significantly to the agricultural sector going forward. And as the dean mentioned, our faculty is very, very diverse. From the name food and agriculture, you may think, well, okay, you know, all we really do here is focus on certain aspects of the conventional understanding of what food and agriculture is. But in order for us to do that, persons need to understand soils, they need to understand water management, they need to understand environmental factors as well, because agriculture and the environment should never be separate issues. They work with one another. Mm. When you do something in agriculture, in terms of what your practices, etc., it affects the environment and vice versa. So hence the reason for the range of degrees and programs that we offer here. So based on your question now, that is where you need some level of national and policy support. So one of the major issues for farmers in terms of investing in land, etc., is the fact that land tenancy issue. And that is something that requires policy to be addressed. And we have eccentric ideas. I'm a very eccentric person. I say, just like how you pay teachers to go to a school every month, on a monthly basis, and they have a salary, they are formally employed by the government. Why don't we do something similar like that for agriculture? When you provide the land, all the infrastructure, etc., and you pay farmers or you pay agricultural experts, if you want to call them that, to go and you have a set plan in terms of how much you want to produce, and all of that then goes into the national market. We treat the sector too informally, in my mind. I hope that answers your question.
All right, I understand. Once again, folks, if you just joined us, we're speaking to Dr. Ronald Rupnarine, and of course, special guest Dean Mark Odivera, Faculty of Food and Agriculture. Field 73223-625-2257. You could also WhatsApp us at 306-1065. We are discussing why there are low admissions in agriculture at UWE. Now, farming is something, you know, some people may learn from their father, learn from the family, going hands-on. What is the difference, really, in, you know, the enrolling in UWE? I know you mentioned a lot of other programs and stuff, but why would I want to enroll in UWE if I could learn farming hands-on from my father?
Well, the answer to that is quite simple, right? Because one is that when you, I'm not saying that practices that persons would have learned from their fathers, great-grandfathers, etc., because that's the nature of the industry is not good. Mm-hmm. However, that has been the major driving force of the agricultural sector in the country for however much years. The fact is that we need to have it more organized. We need to have some science involved to minimize the amount of losses, maximize their production, reduce the impacts of climate change, etc. And also from a business and an environmental side, we want to minimize the impact on the environment to ensure sustainability. Mm. We also want to ensure that from a business side, that persons understand what to plant, when to plant, to maximize their profits, etc. As I said before, and as the dean would have mentioned, agriculture, you know, for many people is seen as, you know, growing tomatoes and mining chicken. It is far more complex than that.
Right.
When you understand Trinidad, for instance, in terms of all soil types, in one farm, right, that is 1 acre or maybe 2-3 acres, you can have multiple different soil series across those that farm. Which would mean that if you're applying water, if you're applying fertilizer, it will not result in the same end product across the entire farm. And that occurs a lot because people do not understand necessarily in terms of the science aspects, the intricacies that is involved in land use management and land suitability and so on. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So that is what you would get. And again, the dean would have mentioned a couple of our programs. We have the Disaster Risk Resilience Program in Agriculture and the Environment that actually looks at increasing climate resilient production.
Right.
We also should mention, and pardon me if we didn't say it before, that we have quite a few collaborative efforts with MyDNS, where we would have done a series of trainings in aquaculture, shade house, etc., to provide support to young persons. But that is not a... It's a CPE program. It's not a BSc in the sense that the students are not able to matriculate into the BSc agriculture after completing that training because of the entry requirements. However, what we are trying to do is to find a way to facilitate these vulnerable groups for entry into the program in collaboration with the ministry.
Well, all right.
So I don't know if he has anything to add to what I would have just said.
Like Dr. Rupnarine would have said, we are training hundreds of students. So from our traditional programs, it may look as if enrollment has dwindled, which is true, but the non-traditional program, like the continuing professional certificates that we're offering to hundreds of students on aquaculture or in aquaculture, in shade house production and management, you will see that there's still interest based on the policy that the government would have come up with. There's interest where we're training this young people, we're equipping them, and we're hoping that going forward, of course, they will be producers, they'll be entrepreneurs, they'll be seasoned people in the sector that will bring about the transformation that is required.
All right, we have the phone lines ringing there, boy. While you guys were speaking, so we invite people to call us up now. 627-3223, 625-2257. We're talking about the low admissions in UWE for the agricultural program. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. What UWE has
afternoon.
What UWE must do? Create an app for the farmers. A lot of them have time to go and do no 5CXC or whatever to come there. Create an app for them so they could utilize whilst they own the farm. That farm, an app that would make them more efficient, and instead of being hard working, they have to be smart working. Create an app for them. Create an app for them with also in that app a business model that would help them know how to market their goods. That way, UWE has to do. I mean, UWE has to, right now, the agricultural program in UWE is nothing but a make work scheme, like most other things are around government, that the government is subsidizing. So give them an app. They have no time to come up there and do. Use that way and see what happens. Take care.
I'll make it a more online thing, but you need that you need the practical, not just the theory. What do you think about that?
Well, I think what he's suggesting is, right, that persons who are actually involved in agriculture now, mm-hmm. it's very difficult for them to have 3 years to come and do a BSc program, right?
Right, yeah.
I think that's what he means.
Okay. Right.
And maybe accessibility for online training and that sort of thing is something that may be more useful to them.
Right, yeah.
And that's fine, because we also have that. We have a business development unit that has a series of short courses in aquaculture, small engine repair, soil and water management,
hydroponics.
Aquaponics. Yeah. So persons who have that sort of inclination that just want to acquire a skill to go and use that skill immediately to try and make some money, that's also fine. But we also have to recognize that if you want to progress a sector, you also need persons with academic qualifications that could do certain aspects that the farmer on the ground is not, you know, inclined to do, because they're more into the production side alone.
Yeah.
But you may need persons who will be able to go and advise, hey, you know what, on this soil is not a good soil to use excessive water, because it could lead to waterlogging. Be careful with your irrigation scheduling, that sort of thing.
All right, let's take another call there. Hello, good afternoon.
Base, good afternoon to you and good afternoon to your guests. Now, I've been hearing a lot on the whole question of agriculture and the policy and that type of thing. What I want to know, do you all, because to me, we are gas oil-based economy. First question, is there any country similar to ours with this type of economy that is successful in agriculture, and what are the policy they drove? And not only that, down the island, St. Vincent and all these countries that don't have much oil and gas, they're successful at agriculture. What is making us so difficult to take their model? I listen off it.
I don't know. Basically, if you don't mind, we didn't really catch the question properly, but I'll repeat it and let me know if that's what he said, right? He was asking if we can't follow a model from our other Caribbean islands.
Other countries. Yeah.
Successful culture?
Yes. Basically.
Okay. Well, I don't know how where our listeners are in terms of the Caribbean as a whole, but food security is a major concern. Even countries that have slightly more successful agricultural sectors than us, because they don't have oil and gas and they would have invested. You know, for the most part, with the exception of Haiti, Guyana, and I think Belize, everybody else imports over 80% of what they consume. So there is no successful model across the Caribbean per se, because of the nature in which agricultural development has taken place over time. And that has to do with, you know, slavery and indentureship, etc., where people have this colonial hegemony attached to the whole agricultural sector. But when you examine our neighbors, Guyana, they have gone leaps and bounds in the agricultural sector. And in the next couple of years, with the oil money investments that they would make, they would be really the food basket of the Caribbean because they have invested in the sector accordingly. It's very difficult for small islands like us, right? When you have patches of agriculture taking place in various parts of the country to establish, say, for instance, infrastructure for water, because it's not in the same place. In more developed countries, you generally have an agricultural district and it's very easy to have access roads, water, all the infrastructure. So another example is we are moving towards wastewater reuse in Trinidad. We have all these wastewater treatment plants, and we are looking at, in collaboration with TTBS, WASA, etc., at irrigation or using wastewater, treated wastewater for irrigation purposes. There's a new standard that was launched by TTBS 2 years ago that speaks to wastewater reuse for agriculture. And as you would know, and most people would know, water is one of the most limiting factors in terms of continuous production because our production is seasonal, which is what affects prices, and most of our agriculture is rain-fed. So if we were to get that into the system, that would help. But the challenge is, if you have agricultural district in Macoya and then a little one in Pinal, one in Siparia, one in Rio Claro, it becomes a very expensive task to facilitate the infrastructure for all of these things. And that is really a major challenge.
All right, we're taking another call. Hello, good afternoon. Oh, sorry, we lost that one. Let's try this one here. Hello, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Dave, and afternoon, Dave, again.
Mm-hmm.
I think every government that passed through this country has only paid lip service for agriculture. Right? They don't provide any investment. And if somebody want to point at the ADB and whatnot, the red tape required to apply for those loans. I know people who get fed up and just abandon the process. I myself wanted to get a farmer's badge. The process to get a farmer's badge, if you want to go into agriculture as a new farmer, 75% of your land had to be planted. So if you want to go into agriculture, there's really no incentive. And government, come government go, as I said, no subsidies for irrigation or roads or anything like that. So that is why we are where we are right now. And that is why, as the gentleman said, Guyana is going to be ahead of us. And it's no surprise we squander our money.
Are we talking about the low admissions in you? All right, so what about if we look for some solution? What about if we start from school, start from primary school level? And, you know, we have projects with every school could have a nice little farm. I have always been saying that all these HGC developments that are putting up all over the place should have somewhere to grow. You know, people could have their own farmer's market and grow there. But in schools, start your own little farm in schools and then teach your children not only what you grow, you could have your own in school farmer's market. People come and partake. And then out of school, you may find people who like to actually dig in the dirt, those who are entrepreneurs, those who are environmentals, and those who are doing the different things that you all spoke about within the course. And so you get it into the mental there from school, primary school.
And so, like we said earlier, the governments have been trying, particularly in terms of bringing policy into effect, like the current cohort of youths that we are training. I think that is that's the right direction that we are taking there. But it is important that decisions must be and policies must be evidence-based. And I think that is where we seem to be lacking. And that is where we become very important as a university. And I think most times we just said, oh, UWE is not doing anything, UWE and things like that. But we must understand, for any country and for any sector to progress,
you need the university. Go to the United States. The agriculture is flourishing because the United States Department of Agriculture is intricately linked to what is happening in the university. And so the Ministry of Agriculture, other related ministries, must work together with the faculty, because this is the only faculty of food and agriculture in the whole of the Caribbean region that has the regional mandate for agriculture in the region. And so here you have the reservoir of experts like you will never get anywhere else. And so it is important that we together take decisions and make policies that will be relevant to move the sector forward.
One thing I know a lot of young people are getting into is the hydroponics.
Yeah.
In
addition to what the dean was saying, right, I think we have to focus on, if we're trying to understand why the enrollment is low, well, I outline our entry requirements one. Mm. And I want to go back to the first point that I made. Persons will gravitate towards any discipline where they are guaranteed employment upon completion. Mm. That is why doctors and lawyers or medicine and law is always highly subscribed, because that is how the system has developed over time, right? And it's not just UE, FFA, other faculties suffered similar fates as well, because some of it could be attributed to COVID and people recovering, etc. But what you spoke about there in terms of farming at schools, we do lots of outreach where we go to schools, where we explain the process, etc., from a primary school level. But we could talk from now till ever about the importance of BSCs and degrees and all this sort of thing from agriculture. But unless that translates into formal employment for our graduates, the students or potential students will have, you know, reservations about doing it. Unless they intend to, they have land and they intend to do their own thing. But yep. I think that is where governmental support comes in.
Yeah, but
and when you go and compare that to Guyana, mm-hmm. if you examine what is happening there, lots of people are being employed through the government once they have their certificate in agriculture from the Guyana School of Agriculture, etc., mm-hmm. to participate in national programs that contributes to significant deals that they would have made with other countries to supply prawn and coconuts, etc. We need to get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I was going to say, if I could consider a young person right now, I was telling their parents, I want to go to UWE. Where you want to study? I want to study agriculture. You know, unless they could be really convincing, that parent might tell them you ought to be crazy. What money are you having that? What you want to do?
And exactly so. And it is because we have not looked at agriculture as that disciplinary area that is relevant and important.
And whose job is that? Whose job is that to make it, market it and make it look like that? Whose job is that? Is that UWE's job? The government job? Whose job is that?
Of course, our policies must show that clearly that agriculture is important. And we, Dr. Remarain just mentioned lawyers and doctors and so on. And now, I mean, look at the market today. Mm-hmm. Our market is saturated with a lot of doctors that it may not even have jobs and things like that. So it means at this point, our policy should be such that we focus on this important discipline, because all of us will not be living today if we don't eat. Mm. And so we need to focus on it and provide incentive so that, you know, our young people will look at it and say, oh, this is an area that we need to get into.
All right. Well, I think another thing you need to do too is maybe the requirements are a bit too high. I knew of a young person. His name was Pepper Boy. They used to call him Pepper Boy. He was developing really nice peppers in Santa Cruz. I interviewed him years ago. He was about 14. He was in the papers, all kind of thing.
That was during COVID, right?
Gabardine, yeah, not, I think now was way before COVID. He actually got into a life of crime and died. right? Mm. He was selling his peppers. He got into a life of crime after and died because he had no set of qualifications to go UWE and think to further himself, but he was developing these peppers. He had a product. He used to be selling peppers, but somebody get him thing. Life got him and say, well, why are you making no money from this? What to do? Who was there to tell him that, you know, you gotta get these peppers and then probably start to make some pepper sauce and then bottle your pepper sauce and make it sell and thing, and then, you know, you could be thinking pepper sauce and have a business right now. Who was there to tell him that? But if he had opportunities to your program, he would have been probably a great candidate, but of course the requirement, he may not have made the requirements. So what is there for people like that?
So what we have developed is something. We have a program that looks at like IFFA certificate that will be launched soon, and we also have a UDA, which is an undergrad diploma in agriculture, right? So with those things, you can do those programs, and that allows you to matriculate into the BSc. And we are actively looking, as I said, because remember, at the end of the day, we do operate in a silo. We have to still meet the requirements of the university, and not just, well, as I say, the university, not even just St. Augustine, but UWE as a whole, right? Mm. So we are kind of tied to what we can do, but we are exploring opportunities where we could allow students who complete a certain number of professional education certificates and that sort of thing to enter into the program if they do not meet the conventional entry requirements.
All right, okay. What about
that is a way to do it.
All right, we have just about a couple more minutes because I have to take the Minister of National Security and making a thing there. What about doing your little, these things that I see a lot of ministries probably doing, maybe you could do it with the help of the Ministry of Agriculture, of course, going to the communities, you know, showing people, this is the same, convincing young people out there about the need to get into agriculture, some of the programs you have, etc. You going out to the people instead of them coming to you.
Yeah, well, we do a lot of outreach, you know. We do outreach with schools. We have webinars. We go out to, like, open days, etc. When schools have it, we do that. Like I said, the key issue, in my opinion, is that it has to translate into proper employment subsequently. And that's why I suggest the centric thing of having, you know, just like you're under the Ministry of Education, you have teachers formerly employed. We could do something like that, establish centralized agricultural districts where infrastructure and everything is in place. And you kind of understand our production. I'm sure you go to the market for Eversoft, and you could be so amazed at how the prices fluctuate over the course of a year, etc. And you know what is the underlying reason for that? It's simple demand and supply. Is the fact that we don't have guaranteed quality and quantity throughout the year. Most of our agriculture is rain fed. Nobody understands exactly how much of each product we want and use, and that creates challenges. So if you go to the ministry, they have the same issue in terms of assessing the amount of tomatoes we should plant, etc., because it's so ad hoc. It's not properly organized.
All right, okay. All right, gentlemen. Well, I mean, really, and things, like I said before, even with my first instance, with my experience, with my friend who I saw in the line of the bank, you had to make things cool for these young people. So you go on TikTok and these influencers, these certain things. No, I'm saying you're laughing, but these are things that reach out to the young people. You had to reach out to them, make it more, you know, the social media. Let them get the social media and the influencers and these kind of things involved. Let them see. It's visuals right now. Let them see. Yeah. You know what I mean? That is what it is about right now.
Well, one last thing before you go, right? Yeah. We have this like things that are interesting. We are looking into insect farming, right? We're utilizing insect larva as a protein substitute for animal feed, which is supposed to be a very innovative project. It started in Trinidad at the University Field Station. It will extend to Barbados and so on through the FAO.
Yeah.
But it's a very new area. And it's something that I think a lot of young people would be interested in because it could actually create a whole new career in terms of being an insect farmer.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, guys. I'll let you wrap it up, Dean.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So just to mention that to all our listeners out there, requirements should not be a hindrance. Please send your son, send your daughter, come to us and let's discuss based on what you have. We will have a program for you on how we can develop you and make you as successful as you need to be. Thank you.
All right, thank you there very much, gentlemen. And trust me, we will have a part two of this discussion, but we hope the youths out there, you will get into the agriculture, okay? Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you for the
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.